Today on Vox Talks Economics, which problems would be solved by dropping money out of helicopters? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name's Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember to subscribe and follow us on Instagram. If you're going to drop lots of money out of a helicopter, what will happen to the economy? When would it make a difference and to who? Once this was just an amusing exam question, but helicopter money is increasingly being taken seriously as policy and is the subject of a new paper by Ricardo Jerez and Silvana Tendereiro of the London School of Economics. I've come to the LSE to ask Ricardo for some answers. So, Ricardo, welcome back to Vox Talks Economics.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, you were my very first ever Vox Talks interviewee.
Oh, I didn't know that. I hope I keep a high level then.
Some more important economic history on this. What is the history of helicopter money as a thought experiment? And the other question is, why did we never really take it seriously?
So the history of it is really a theoretical one. Milton Friedman is the one credited with it, although, as usual in the history of economic thought, there were at least two or three people that had used something similar before. But still, Milton Friedman was really trying to, as a good theorist, think about an hypothetical situation that really has no real-life counterpart, but that allows you to isolate what is the role of money in inflation or in output or real activity in an economy. And so it said, well, imagine that instead of all the complications through which central banks print money, set interest rates, lend to banks or not, imagine simply that a simple helicopter would drop some money in the sidewalk, people would pick it up. What would change? Would they work more? Would they consume less? Would they raise their wages? Would they pay more or less for the price of firms? So it started really as an hypothetical experiment that allows us to think through what is ultimately the role of monetary policy. Now, it is only really in the last 10 years that the idea has emerged, not as a theoretical, counterfactual, hypothetical, but rather as a policy proposal. It has not been done, as you noted, but then again, it is only 10 years old as an actual semi-serious proposal. Why has it emerged now, Tim? I think it has emerged partly due to some confusion, one, and that is a confusion with quantitative easing, which is very different from a helicopter drop, but which for many people sounded like, well, that's kind of similar. Aren't central banks, after all, printing lots of money? Isn't it all about how their balance sheets are growing? No, it's not. And secondly, it emerged because with central banks pre-2020, when inflation seemed to be something that was not just in the past, but there was a problem with raising inflation, there was a discussion between, say, 2013-19 as to what extent helicopter money type policies could push up inflation when it seemed like inflation may be stuck down. Having said that, of course, the last 12 months have made that a little unnecessary. But who knows in 2-3 years whether that won't be necessary again.
In real life, no one is talking about dropping actual money from actual helicopters.
Absolutely not.
But with all these policy proposals that people are sort of calling helicopter money at the moment, do they all agree on what it is? And some of them may be using the idea of helicopter money as a way to make quite boring ideas seem interesting.
So one contribution in this article with Professor Tendereiro has been precisely to try and look at the literature and define more clearly what is at the heart of what is a helicopter drop of money. And a helicopter drop of money, we say, really has to come with two bits. First, it must be that there's an increase in the liabilities of the central bank. Central bank has assets and liabilities. What are its liabilities? They are both deposits that banks have at the central bank. They are the pieces of paper with a queen printed on them, bank notes and coins, as well as, potentially in a maybe not so distant future, central bank digital currency, as some people are excited about nowadays. Any of those, an increase in the liabilities of the central bank. So yes, it doesn't have to be just pieces of paper painted with a picture of the queen on them. No, it can be any one of the other ones. Number two, it must lead to a direct increase in the after-tax nominal income of some private agents. That is, it can't just be that liabilities increase in the process of buying government bonds or trying to change an interest rate or providing through a swap line a loan across borders. No. It must be that this liabilities increased and that extra resources were transferred to private agents. Now, that transfer could happen directly where the central bank just says, imagine a world of central bank digital currency where you have an account central bank and they just say, here's plus 100 in your account. Or it could be instead, where the central bank instead transfers to some bankers and says, look, these bankers get a little more. Or it could be the central bank now pays for a particular public project. Or it could even be slightly more remotely, where the central bank buys a government bond, therefore gives the money to the government for it, and then tells the government, forget about paying me back this bond, let's scratch it out, in which case then the government then will spend it in some public investment or others. But either way, there must always be a transfer to either the government and ultimately to some private agents whose nominal income changed. That's what distinguishes it from quantitative easing, that distinguishes it from the unconventional monetary policies used so far, as well as the old style conventional ones.
Right. And in doing this, you've slightly restricted what it is in the classical spirit of a helicopter drop so that it's possible to write some kind of tractable model that investigates the consequences of helicopter money?
So once you define it more precisely, you can try to isolate how is it that it does work, or even better, does it work at all or not? And as importantly, you realize whether this definition is ultimately complete or actually incomplete. An immediate result that Professor Tenjero and myself had was that this definition is in part incomplete. You need to add something more. And what is that more? If I were to just drop, and let's go back to the helicopter because it's so colorful and so vivid. If I just were to give you pieces of paper and call them money, for you to pick them up from the sidewalk as they fall in the air, they must have some value. Yeah. It must be that these pieces of paper, you can actually buy something you care about, a piece of chicken or a flower or whatnot. But if the central bank, all it did was drop pieces of paper freely without ever honoring them, because honoring them insofar as they kept on just being rolled over for more and more pieces of paper in the future, then ultimately this piece of paper would be a very pure Ponzi scheme that's backed by no goods. But then they would be worthless and you would realize this is just a piece of paper. Let me put it even more colorfully. I could go out there and say, here's a bunch of pieces of paper with Ricardo's picture on them. And they say, I owe you 3 chicken. You could say, I can pick them up. But you'd only pick them up if you trusted that you could come to me and exchange those for 3 chicken. If you knew that when you came to me, I would never give you anything. And when you want to exchange them, I would change them for something else. Another piece of paper that says 3 chicken, not today, but tomorrow, then there would be no value. In other words, or as we put it, the helicopter money or the drops must come with some suction. Mm-hmm. And what do we mean by a suction? A way in which you who picked up the paper can now give the paper to someone and get a chicken in return, something real in return. And if you don't specify how you do that, you can end up with very different conclusions on how the drops work or not.
I see. So without that suction, then it's basically neutral. It's not doing anything.
I wouldn't put it that way. The way in which you do the suction is going to make a big effect on the predictions of what the helicopter will do and how it will work. It will always have an effect as long as it, as I said, it has the increases the transfers, increases the liabilities, but the way you structure that suction will affect the effect. It's true, though, that leading then to a second, I think, result in our paper, we then see, well, even if you do this and you have a form of suction, does this have an effect or not? And it may be that it's completely neutral. And here we characterize, and this is again the virtue of writing a somewhat formal model, it forces you to see where things are sometimes neutral or not. We end up with 3 conditions for the helicopter drop to be neutral. First, imagine that what you drop off the helicopter is a form of money. And remember, there's many different forms of money, as I started, all of them being a liability of the central bank, for which demand is satiated. What do I mean by that? Is there an opportunity cost of you holding this piece of paper as opposed to another financial investment? When interest rates are as they are rising and positive now, there is a cost of you of holding a piece of paper with a queen on it because that earns you no interest, and whereas putting your money in a bank will earn you a positive interest. But right now, a deposit at the central bank, such as the one that banks made, often called reserves or bank reserves, those pay you the same interest rate that you would get if instead of depositing at the central bank, you would deposit at some other bank. The demand for those is satiated. So increasing the amount of currency banknotes would break neutrality, but by itself, increasing the amount of reserves, bank reserves for our money does not necessarily lead to non-neutrality. Second condition, does the other bits, the other legs of monetary policy, keep inflation on target? If they do, the helicopter money itself, while it's sending transfer sums and others, if they're not changing inflation, then they're not necessarily leading to a change in equilibrium output and consumption and other, because while the central bank is dropping the helicopter, they're also adjusting interest rates to keep inflation just on target. And third, that the redistributions, because remember, helicopter drop was always giving to some people some direct transfers, but are those permanent or not? In one example, if I were to drop you the money and you picked it up, And at the same time, the suction was that whomever picks it up has to give it back to the government within 5 years,
yeah.
then that would be neutral.
Yeah.
Now, with all these three conditions, there's certainly, again, note that we are being theorists here, trying to isolate the cases, but they're very sharply, as in any neutrality result, the beauty of neutrality results in economics is not so much for the neutrality itself. It's not neutral because these conditions will never really hold. It's in isolating clearly, how is this working in its non-neutrality? And in our case, we showed, I think, that helicopter money will be not neutral if it's supplying some money for which there is demand in helping in transactions. It is affecting inflation in a way that cannot be undone by other rules, or if it really takes away from Adam to give to Eve, meaning makes one richer at the expense of another who's poorer.
And one of the reasons why we've had so many papers talking about helicopter money over the last 10 years or so is there's been many possible reasons to employ it to solve problems that we've encountered. So let's go through some of those. You go through them in the paper as well. First of all, what does the model say about being stuck at the zero lower bound?
So if one is stuck at the zero lower bound, that is, if interest rates are zero, and central banks are not so happy about that because that's leading to inflation being below target, but they find themselves, boy, I can't really lower interest rates anymore to do my usual recipe of trying to raise inflation by lowering interest rates. Would helicopter drops be a way of overcoming that? Well, first of all, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Because quantitative easing and other forms of unconventional monetary policy are ways of trying to raise inflation without doing the helicopter drop. In other words, you can be using policies that do not have the direct transfers to some agent at the expense of some other agents that the helicopter drops involve. Now, you may say, well, but maybe the quantitative easing, maybe the forward guidance, maybe our other unconventional policies haven't worked. And maybe, yes, you're ultimately always at the end left with the helicopter drop of money. Then sure. But as long as you can do some of the other ones, most of them, as we know, tend to be superior ways to control inflation. Moreover, the historical experience with either monetarism of really trying to get as close as possible to dropping money has tended to come with very high volatility of inflation. And secondly, the instead more theoretical sense of threatening to drop helicopter drops of money in order to push up expectations of people and in doing so push up inflation is one that is very much, as with all off-equilibrium threats, one that is going to require a tremendous amount of credibility and commitment, making this not the first thing that one would look at if that was the goal.
Now, you mentioned QE a couple of times, specifically because helicopter drops are often conflated with it. You've explained why they're different. Could we, should we have tried a helicopter drop instead of QE around 2010?
Probably not, but as important as whether we should try it or not is the extent to which they were the same or not. Quantitative easing was a way of trying to affect long-term interest rates, but without doing any distribution of resources across different agents. We need to go back and remember then quantitative easing, when it started, being an unconventional policy, led to very legitimate questions of whether this was a form of fiscal policy by which many understood, quite correctly, legitimately, the extent to which it redistributed. Was this helping the bankers, or was it helping the borrowers, or was it helping the lenders? Who was really benefiting from this? Was this some way for the central bank to be subsidizing some at the expense of taxing others then? Quantitative easing, now we understand, is not one of those. It really does not increase directly the income of any particular agent. Doesn't mean that, of course, indirectly, as it affects the economy, doesn't mean that there aren't winners or losers, or there are of any policy, but it is not directly trying to make a group richer at the expense of some other group. Helicopter drops, though, do so. Helicopter drops are about choosing, as I said, that some groups have a redistribution of money, they have more resources, and some have fewer in many regards. Or at least it is very hard to design a helicopter drop that does not come with that prediction. Therefore, helicopter drops indeed raise many more questions of legitimacy of whether central bank would do it. One thing we note quite explicitly, and again, if you allow me to abuse the analogy, is with a helicopter drop, you have to decide who flies the helicopter,
right.
Who chooses where to fly it to and who not. And at least in our current institutional arrangements, we say, I think quite clearly, that we don't think that the central bank today, of the ones we know, could actually do a helicopter drop. It would be illegitimate to do so without asking the fiscal authority and the government where to fly the helicopter to.
One question that hadn't occurred to me at all, but it's fascinating, is could a helicopter drop be used to pay some of the bill for offsetting climate change?
Potentially, again, yes, it could, once one understands that by increasing the liabilities of the central bank, so in a sense, you're letting the central bank borrow, and the central bank is a branch of the state as a whole. And as I said earlier, one of the possible ways of doing so is, well, to pay for some public investment, in which case, why not do the public investment in climate or some other societal priority? So can it be done? Yes. Is it the right way to do it? That's, again, a tougher question. And we try, if without answering a clear yes or no, but just trying to at least characterize what are some of the channels for which have an effect and what are some of the cons of it. First of all, if we think that this stimulus was really a stimulus to exit a recession, you really have to ask yourself, why aren't you just using fiscal policy directly? Or alternatively, why are you not using conventional monetary policy? Secondly, if what we are doing is transferring money back to those who suffered, say, austerity from the government, then this sounds possible, but also most likely illegitimate. If the government is choosing to raise a tax on someone, why would the central bank now drop the money to pay those taxes yes, if we're thinking that way? Third, if you think about the central bank being about responding to a situation in which the government is having trouble paying for its supporting, say, climate change without defaulting on its debt, well, then you have to realize that ultimately the money the central bank is issuing is another form of a liability of the state. And in being another form of the liability of the state, it wouldn't change the fact that the government still is having to finance this. This goes back to the suction point we were saying earlier. And finally, fourthly, if the central bank is dropping the money to try to generate actual resources that can be used to combat a change, you have to realize that the limit to that resource is that the central bank is generating some seigniorage, as it's sometimes called. You're essentially taxing the holders of the currency. You're transferring from them towards you. So ultimately, when you're issuing the liabilities to generate the resources to pay for the climate change, you're doing so at the expense of, well, there were these people out there who really wanted pieces of paper to engage in transactions. I'm going to use the revenue from them to pay for climate change. Well, you face the problem that those tend to be small, and that a central bank that tries to do too much of them just ends up with runaway inflation. And so it ends up being that the amount of resources you need strike me as very, very small compared to the needs that are for climate change. Climate change is a societal priority, but I think we cannot hide from the fact that to deal with it, one needs to generate public revenue the old-fashioned way, by taxes. Helicopter drop would be a drop in the bucket.
Okay, well, let's think about another crisis, because last time I talked to anyone on Vox Talks about helicopter drops was when we were scrabbling around looking for policies to deal with COVID-19 in 2020. Was there any intervention at that time that you think would qualify as a successful helicopter drop?
During 2020?
Yeah.
No, I would not say they did. I mean, let's go through a few of the things that central banks did then that could be confused for a helicopter drop. First, there was an increase during the pandemic for liabilities of the central bank as people wanted more money to store some of their savings, or because of some mistrust of the banks. Central banks responded to that dash for cash, as it was called colorfully in the US, by dropping indeed more cash. But that was responding to an increase in demand. Going back to my two definitions, there was an increase in liabilities, but there was no transfer. There was no transfer to any direct private agent.
Yes.
Second, central banks increased the amount of money as part of lowering interest rates and as part of trying to stimulate the economy by lowering short and long-term interest rates. Again, they note that in doing so, though, and going back into my condition for neutrality, remember, a second issue for neutrality is whether other policies are keeping inflation close to target. Well, that's what they did in 2020. So even if there had been a helicopter drop, it would have been canceled by that. Finally, there was a great increase in the supply of reserves, to a great part, sometimes even to finance some of the government programs that were happening at the time by buying the government bonds that allowed for transfers to people or not. But there we go back again to the definitions, and again to highlight the role of the theory, the importance of the suction. Right now, what we did was we indeed increased reserves by government bonds, but governments will collect taxes, will pay the bonds, will pay the bonds to the bondholders, including the central bank, and the central bank, therefore, with those taxes, can retire or suction back the reserves it did. Insofar as there's no sense in which there will be a default of the governments on their bonds or a forgiveness of the central bank towards them, the suction will neutralize this, and there will be none of the, what I call the permanent transfers. And therefore, all of the policies that we've seen are consistent with either not being a helicopter drop, or even if you want to call them helicopter drop, them satisfying the conditions for the helicopter drop to have been completely neutral.
Finally, Ricardo. I mean, we do like to make policy on Vox Talks. We like to put people in charge of policy making. And so you're in hot seat for this one. Do you think that governments should be adding helicopter drops to their toolkit or central banks? Do they fulfill any purpose that you can see?
So they fulfill a purpose. Mm-hmm. They can be used to transfer across groups, to potentially stimulate inflation, to potentially respond to different problems in the way in which capital is allocated in the economy. However, the conclusion that I think I reach at the end of the study is that very often the helicopter drop is only needed when many other policies have been exhausted to a point where I don't think we've ever quite been there. Two, that the details of implementation matter hugely, which, if you're more of a cynic, would make you skeptical of helicopter drops, because you really don't want to create a power to redistribute across people in society when those details matter so much and without those being very well defined. So as a citizen, I would have trouble giving a blanket check and saying yes to helicopter drops as you wish, without any more accountability. Or in other words, I find it hard to see how the independence of the Bank of England as it exists now is consistent with it actively using helicopter drops. We simply need to redefine its mission, its accountability, how it's independent. And finally, thirdly, because I worry that very often where helicopter drops are being proposed or used, conventional old-fashioned fiscal policy, where it's assumed that we will be taking from some to give to others, would be a more transparent and even more effective way of doing so. So I don't want to rule it out in the hot seat insofar as maybe we will have situations in which it is best to have the central bank doing it. Maybe we have a mandate that makes it very clear and narrow how it's being done. And maybe we are run out of other tools to respond to a crisis or to preserve our economic activity. But I think the bar is quite high for those to work. But anyway, we're really trying to just lay out at least those conditions, clarify in our role of academics so that at least helicopter drop is not used quite as loosely as it has been as being either a panacea or as being claimed as being completely neutral. No, as always, when one thinks hard, it depends, but not it depends as a cowardly way to avoid answering questions. Rather, it depends in a way that we lay out over 30 pages so that you understand what conditions it depends on and which effects it may have.
Always one of the greatest thought experiments, the helicopter drop there. Ricardo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The paper is called Helicopter Money. What is it and what does it do? And the authors are Ricardo Heish and Silvana Tenreiro. It is discussion paper 17180 at CPR. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research, and every week we bring you the most important latest research. So if you want to know what's going to be innovative policy 2 years from now, listen to Vox Talks Economics Today. And since I was last in Ricardo's office, we have recorded more than 200 episodes. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, because whatever type of economics you like, there's a Vox Talk waiting for you.